Hey gang, welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's RBN. I'm on the website right now. Lots of good stuff here. They got archives of my shows. That's one good thing. But they've got columns, columnists. They've got the RBN updates. All sorts of good stuff here. They also have a donate button at the top. I know I mentioned it. But, yeah, you can click on it. You can make a single donation. You can do a dollar a day club. Lots of good stuff here. I certainly recommend it. There, you know what else is here? It is the on-air calls number. And that number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Well, I'm taking calls today, welcoming calls. There's always a lot to talk about. I heard that from my secret envoys, I didn't attend that Nationalist Solutions Conference in Tennessee over the weekend, but I've heard that Tom Kaczynski did really, really well, that he just blew everyone away with his speech. He was riveting. And that makes me feel good. I had him on this show several times, and I hope to have him on several more times. I think he's a really great voice. I wonder if these speeches are going to get online at some point. I bet they will. That would be something to look forward to. Well, you know what else? We have that whole Russia hoax thing is really falling apart. And it seems like that, well, at any minute, for all we know, the whole thing is going to be axed. You're hearing more and more talk about this. What's the guy's name? Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General for the Justice Department. He released his report late last week, and it was over 500 pages. And you heard some stuff through the media, and you're hearing through the media, oh, there's nothing there or whatever, but there were a lot more of these texts were released. Now, there is this guy, Peter Strzok, who for whatever strange reason still seems to be working for the FBI. He was famously involved in an extramarital affair with his girlfriend, Lisa Page. And we already knew that they had all sorts of text messages flying back and forth between them. You know, text messages saying, you know, oh, please, you know, we can't let Donald Trump be president, and like that. Lots more has text messages and emails have been released, including several other FBI agents. Not all of them were named. And you just see this common theme that Donald Trump mustn't be allowed to become president. You know, you talk about interfering in elections. I wish the Russians had been interfering in the elections. I mean, oh well, we got our Donald Trump anyway. But really, I mean, the idea that with the billions of dollars that get spent in a presidential election, that maybe a few thousand dollars worth of Facebook ads that were purchased by people in Russia who may be associated with the Russian government, or according to Yeltsin, you know, they may be dual nationals or Jews. He said that. They may be dual nationals. They may be Jews. They may not be associated with the Russian government, but whatever. You know, Tucker will always say, he's based in Washington, Tucker Carlson, and he'll always say, Washington is full of foreigners interfering in elections. And if he ever names foreigners, he might name the Chinese. But we all know he's talking about the Jews in Israel. I mean, the dual citizens, the Israelis, got major. You talk about meddling in elections. Let's talk about that with Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dr. Slattery, I'm having lunch and listening to your broadcast, one of the best parts of my lunch, as usual. Plus every now and then. Plus an ice cold Heineken every now and then, because sometimes lighter is better. Okay. Anyway, that was a funny little... Yeah, that was a little joke. The Daily Stormer ran an ad about Heineken White and how it had an ad that was considered racist because this white bartender flung a Heineken and it slid all the way down to this beautiful European girl and past all these dark people. And the slogan was, sometimes lighter is better. And Heineken had to pull that ad.
Yeah, they pulled that ad.
Yeah, it was considered racist. So, of course, Anglin and the gang said, well, guess what? Heineken's the new drink of white nationalists. So just a little joke there, but I do like Heineken.
Did you ever see the Chinese laundry detergent commercial where Chinese lady, she's walking past her laundry room and there's some like half naked African guy in there, and she does something. Well, I guess she's in the laundry room and the half naked African guy walks into the laundry room, and so she suggestively has him walk over. And then she forces him into the washing machine and runs the cycle, and out comes a Chinese man. And, you know, that was deemed so racist. Well, the thing is, it was actually completely plagiarized from an Italian laundry commercial, mm-hmm. where the Italian housewife, her white Italian husband walked into the laundry room. She pushed him into the laundry machine, and out came an African. And nobody complained about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Anglin said, these commercials, the people that produce these things, it goes through all kinds of editing. And if there's something racist or hinting of racist, they know it. They're just putting it out there to get some attention. But anyway.
Most of the advertising is very anti-white and very intentionally so.
Right. But I think this Heineken thing, I think they knew what it was saying and they just let it go to get some controversy personally. But that's just me. But I did have a good question to hit you with, and it's mm-hmm. playing right into your... right into the subject of Russian interference and all of this. And what spurred this question is I noticed that Mr. Collette said that he's going to be interviewing Richard Spencer soon.
Yeah, tomorrow.
And okay, awesome. And so here's my question. All right, and this is going to be a controversial one. It'll probably generate some calls. Mm-hmm. So it is no secret, if you Google Richard Spencer and Alexander mm-hmm. Dugin, mm-hmm. you will see that these two individuals have tweeted each other, and Dugin's wife, or at the time wife, Nina, I believe they're still married, according to his profile. His wife, Nina, you know, translated a lot of Dugin's works. And I've asked the question to Dr. Duke himself, who I would consider a patriarch of our movement. You know, is Dugin good for our movement? What's your opinion of him? Duke kind of had a neutral opinion. He didn't like Dugin's... you know, Bolshevism, the fact that he is part of a party called National Bolshevik. He thinks that maybe Dugin, you know, wants to do some good things, but he doesn't think he's overall good. So here's my question. A lot of people in our movement, and especially on Stormfront, there's a lot of different threads on the website. They really distrust Spencer. They distrust him a lot, and a lot of it is because of his ties with Dugin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in case, I'm sure that, I don't know if the listeners are familiar, Alexander Dugin is a philosopher in Russia. He was pretty close to to President Putin, but when, you know, Russia annexed Crimea, Dugin was saying some pretty out there stuff. He actually has been quoted
out there saying, in what way?
Dugin actually has been quoted as saying that there needs to be a genocide in the Ukraine. Now, I don't want to misquote him, and I know the media misquotes people, just like the you know, Ahmadinejad in Iran has been misquoted by saying that he wants to wipe Israel and America off the map. Well, that's not what he said. Dr. Duke told us what he said. He wants to end Zionist power in America, and he doesn't want a genocide of Israelis and Americans. So I don't want to misquote Dugin. I'm just telling you what's out there on the internet that you can pull up. And Dugin has been quoted as saying that. So when Dugin took a hardline stance against the Ukraine, Putin kind of distanced himself from Dugin. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my question then is this, and I hope that either you or Mark can pose this to Richard Spencer, and if not, I'll try to get into the chat and pose the question if I can. But I'm liable to be 40 foot up on a ladder, Payne. So my question is, does Spencer still support Dugin? If so, why? And why does he think Dugin is good for our movement? I think if he would clear that up one way or the other, you know, that he could kind of explain himself, because a lot of people in our movement don't trust Spencer. I don't want to promote infighting, but I think it's good to be clear in our positions. I don't know what I think of Dugin. I don't like what I read so far. But I wonder if the media is misportraying him. And I want to give a shout-out to George from Greece. Isn't that cool, Dr. Slattery, that I'm right here in West Kentucky by the Kentucky Lake, and maybe this individual from Greece is listening? Mm-hmm. George from Greece has mentioned Dugin a couple of times on your show and seems to know a little bit about him. I would be curious to know what George from Greece thinks of Dugin and if he's good for our movement or not, because he seems to have mentioned him a few times and knows a little bit more maybe than what even I know. So that's where I'm at with that. That's what I would like. If anybody could get that question to Spencer, what do you think of that question, and what are your feelings on this?
So Dugin is on my radar screen because you put him on my radar screen, and I'm glad you did. I don't know if I have an interest in Russia, and I don't consider myself an expert. But I do have an interest, and he had not come up on my study of Russia, but I do see he's somebody who's worth knowing about, a lot of his positions seem reasonable, and a lot don't seem very good, and you're right to take media quotes with a grain of salt. Did he say something like that the Ukrainians should be genocided? Did he really say that? It was, and is it taken out of context? I wouldn't know, but those are those are all legitimate questions. Well, regarding Richard Spencer, I've talked to him a few times. I don't know him particularly well, but of course I've seen him, I've seen his work, I've watched some of his speeches that he made at Texas A&M and other places. And, when I look at somebody like Richard Spencer or, Mark Collette or, Tom Kaczynski, who I was talking about earlier in the show, they're all late 30s. I guess Spencer might have turned 40 already. From my point of view, very young, and people who hopefully have a bright future. With regards to Richard Spencer, I would like to think that any shortcomings he has now are, all of us go through like an evolution, and any shortcomings he has right now, hopefully he will evolve, in a positive way. You never know. Some people start off doing really well, and then they become a big disappointment. But I think Richard Spencer has, he has some star quality. He has, a talent for getting media. I suppose he has some resources behind him. I don't think they're malevolent resources. You look at some people and who's behind them, and it might be some rich Jew, and that's not the case with Richard Spencer. And so for somebody, a young person to be able to put together big conferences and things like that, I think that's very, very useful. And the way I look at him is he's a good person to be engaging with. And, none of us have all the answers. I don't think I have all the answers, but I'll be on that show with him tomorrow, because I'm on the panel of that show. And I will try to ask him what he thinks about Dugan, because I'm curious too. So
I think it is a legitimate question, and I don't think it's a question that would be construed as being divisive, because look, Richard Spencer is known as one of the head figures in our movement. Mm-hmm. Amongst the younger people, he's maybe even known more than David Duke. And, mm-hmm. Spencer has obvious ties, at least with his support of Dugan. I don't know if they personally know each other, but I think that when the left tries to say there's a Russian connection with Trump, this is one of the places that they'll go. If you Google it, they've went here in many, many, many articles that they believe that Spencer might be a plant from Dugan and his people. So, that's pretty conspiratorial. But if you pull up some of the tweets that have went back and forth between these two individuals, you can see where they're building that narrative. Now, there's also, maybe a Russian connection here with some oligarchs and Jewish oligarchs in Russia that would be involved with Trump and with, specifically Abramovich and Deripaska. Abramovich basically finances Deripaska. Deripaska is the aluminum magnate in Russia, both Jewish oligarchs, and they have ties with Kushner. Who we know is bad news and is going to bring Trump down if allowed to. So I think that when you're talking about a Russian connection, these are some things that the media is picking up on, and they don't want to say Jewish, but they just want to say Russian, right? It's really a Jewish connection.
What are these connections? What's really the nature of the connections? Because we know that Trump is the type of person, or I think Trump's the type of person who, keeps his friends close and sometimes his enemies closer. What is the nature of ties that he might have to a Russian Jewish oligarch, for instance? Is it an adversarial one where he is doing some sort of business, but it's a keep your enemies closer type of thing? I don't know.
It's hard to tell. Hard to tell from out here. And
we're going to be coming up on the break pretty soon, but would you like to stay on after the break? Because I'm enjoying the discussion.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I do want to definitely make way, because I think we're going to generate some pretty interesting calls and responses with this line of thought.
I would think we would. We haven't yet, but I would think so. Okay. For whatever reason, my official clock is blurry, and I can't read it right now. But we will be coming up on the time real soon. Hey, so you're doing some painting today?
Okay. I am.
Well, here I was doing some foundation work on my house the other day, crawling around in crawl spaces. Not a lot of fun. Okay, we'll be back after the break.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Jeremy from Kentucky. And Jeremy, it sounded like you were going somewhere before we got interrupted.
I wanted to mention one more important thing about Dugin, and maybe if George does end up calling in, so give him some talking points. You know, Dugin has this book that he wrote, The Fourth Political Theory. And this theory combines, it supersedes and combines elements of liberal democracy, Marxism, and fascism. And of course, liberal democracy meaning the French Revolution. And in a nutshell, Dugin is taking all of the various revolutions since the French Revolutions, and he's pulling elements out of them that he likes. And he's utilizing, I guess, the principles of them. And he wants to form like this Eurasian movement against the West. He sees the West, specifically America, as being a degenerate power that needs to be overcome.
Now, does it have anything to do with the Jewish domination of the West?
Well, no, see, that's the thing. He doesn't name the Jew. Mm-hmm. And I haven't found Jewish, I haven't researched enough to find Jewish power behind him, but I'm sure that it's there. Because his party, Dugin's party, is the National Bolshevik Party. So that sends some red alerts up. And I understand
it sends red alerts up in our circles. Does it mean the same thing? I mean, it's a different context over there.
Right, and we have discussed that before, that,
yeah,
you know, Bolshevik simply means...
I don't have the answer to it. I don't know what it means to him. But I'm just warning that we can't automatically assume that it means the same thing to him or to people in Russia that it does to us.
Right, absolutely. And Bolshevik simply means majority, I believe, is what you've schooled me on in the past.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, if I start the National Nazi Party of Kentucky or National Socialist Workers Party, that's going to drum up some images of history. And the same thing with Bolshevik, and they know that. His party calls for an end to anti-Semitism. He's against anti-Semitism, and he is also against xenophobia. And in the party, that's what he called for. And so he's calling for this Eurasian movement that's uniting together, and it is a fascist, concept of pulling together. And that's why he really wanted to, I think he wanted to overtake the Ukraine and not stop in the Crimean Peninsula. And that might have been where he fell out with President Putin, or where President Putin, like, distanced himself, because I think Dugin wanted to go all the way with that and pull together the old Soviet Union from back in the glory days and stand against the West. Now, maybe his intentions are good. He says he's standing against the degeneracy of the West, but this guy is very ambiguous in some of his points, and I don't know if he's good or not. Right now I'm tending to think not so. And I think it is a legitimate question to Spencer, because he does represent a lot of the alt-right. He's an important figure, and I think that an answer on this would be, would clear some things up for people that are special.
Well, go ahead, Doctor. I'll try to ask him. You know, it's from my point of view, it's like I'm curious. It's not like I'm not going to ask him as kind of a gotcha or an accusation or anything, but I'm curious, and I think you know something. Why don't you tell us what you think about Alexander Dugin? So I'll see. We'll see what happens with that. You know, you mentioned something about Russia taking over Crimea. I was talking recently to Benjamin Fulford, who I had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I'll have him back on again shortly. But he has all these inside connections. But the thing is, some of his connections are good, and some of his connections are probably playing him, but at any rate, some of his connections are saying that Russia is going to about to annex the Donbass area, those two provinces. I forgot what they're called, but I kind of doubt it. I doubt they would, because Crimea had a small population, very Russian population, and had the historical ties and the military significance. Annexing it didn't disrupt the ethnic balance of Ukraine very much. But if you were to annex the eastern part of Ukraine, the Donbass region, okay, you get a small part of the Ukraine, but then the ethnic balance in the rump Ukraine becomes very anti-Russian. And they would just clamor to join NATO. And so you'd be creating a very anti-Russian state where, over the past 25 years, there's been pretty much a balance. Until recently, there's been a balance. Now, it could be that maybe Putin decides that, since the 2014 Jewish-sponsored coup, Victoria Nuland, State Department-sponsored coup, that maybe Ukraine's already lost, and so why not? Maybe that's the logic there. Okay, hey, if you want to hang on, I still don't have another caller, so you're welcome.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio, brought to you by CoSertified, the app CoSertified. I don't always keep kosher, but when I do, well, no, I never keep kosher. Jeremy, have you downloaded the app yet? The CoSertified app?
I have not. I'm not big on apps. But
it's good. It's a lot of fun.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, is it costly?
No, it's $2.99.
Oh, yeah, I'll look into that to support you there.
Yeah, it's fun. It tells you about kosher food. It'll tell you which foods you can go to if you're curious which foods aren't kosher. Dad's root beer. It's the official root beer and cream soda, because Dad also has cream soda. It is the official cream soda of National Bugle Radio. But if you want to find things that aren't kosher, it has lists. It has stories. It's fun. It's good stuff. And it is a type of thing that we need more of. Could you imagine like an app that would let you know all of the, the Jews in CNN and CBS and all these other places? Actually, I think there was an app kind of like that. There was an app that put triple parentheses around the names of known Jews, and that got taken down. It's right. The Echo app.
It'd be like the sunglasses that you could get in the movie, where you can see them. You can see the aliens, right? And Murr just posted some interesting stuff on Renegade Tribune. Renegade Tribune, they're very critical of the alt-right and of some of the leaders. And I like to read different articles from different sources. I don't like to be brainwashed. And I like to make sure that I'm getting a good source of truth, which is why I listen to RBN and in your show, by the way, and mm-hmm. David Duke's show as well. I don't like to go too far to the left or too far to the right. You know, there's this middle where you get some good straight news and you can kind of settle on some common sense analysis of that. So, but Renegade Tribune's interesting, and Murr posts some interesting things. Shout out to Murr.
Yeah, Murr's fun, and she does. She does a chat room for me on Chatango, and you can go to nationalbugle.com and click on Join the Chat, and that's the Chatango page she set up for me, which I very much appreciate. Now, this Renegade, I think, isn't there a Renegade Radio? Is this?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know enough about it to have an intelligent conversation, so just maybe leave it at that.
They're pretty critical of the Daily Stormer, Mike Enoch, mm-hmm. Matthew Heimbach, mm-hmm. and Richard Spencer. Some people would say they're critical to the point that they cause division, but I mean, you know, when you get in the public's eye like these men have, then everything's going to be uncovered. All your corners are going to be dusted, and if there's any little thing out there, you know, they're going to get a hold of it. So, like you said, though, people can evolve and improve, and as they learn. So that's where I'm at with it.
Infighting is good to avoid. Now, you know, the flip side of that is sometimes there are people who are doing or saying things that are really harmful and they need to be called out. So, you know, there's both sides of that. With, for instance, the Daily Stormer, you know, the Daily Stormer can be maybe excessively rude, unnecessarily provocative sometimes. Yesterday, Mark and I were talking about the anti-boomerism, and that's reflected mm-hmm. in the Daily Stormer. It's reflected, you know, by some of these other people that you've mentioned. And I at first tried not to be sensitive about it because, you know, my generation, or is that how the song went? Something like that. I think it's important to have a thick skin and not be too sensitive about things. But as I was saying yesterday, I saw what was supposed to be a debate, but it wound up really being just kind of like a friendly conversation between Halsey English and some Fuentes. I can't remember his name. And Halsey English is, you know, he's somebody who's tried to inject himself into the alt-right as the Jew who explains why Jews aren't really our problem. And so they seem to be agreeing, yeah, it's not Jews that are the problem, it's boomers. And I'm probably not being fair to Nick Fuentes, whatever his name is, and so I apologize for that. I'm probably not really characterizing him fairly. But I am characterizing Halsey English fairly. That's how he is. So the infighting, something to be avoided. When I look at like the things I don't like about the Daily Stormer, I always have to sit back and remember, well, why am I reading this? I'm reading it because Andrew Anglin, whatever you want to say about him, he is the best newsman. What do I mean by newsman? Because I've worked in newsrooms, and he's somebody who has his eye on the news the whole time he's awake, and he can't sleep very much. He writes so much, and he writes it in a way that's fun to read. He's got incredible talent, and so even when I don't, you know, should I really expect to like everything he writes? I mean, that's kind of unrealistic. Should I expect to agree with him all the time? That's pretty unrealistic. And you know, you can say the same about Mike Enoch. What he's done with the right stuff, you know, it's I listen to it a lot because I think these guys are smart, and I guess I can't expect to agree with them all the time. You know, why should I? So I have a lot of respect for what they do, but you know, sometimes I find myself pulling out my hair because I'm saying, you know, they're going off in the wrong direction or making mistakes about things or whatnot. But I generally, you know, given our situation where we're kind of in a corner and we're fighting our way out of a corner, to the extent we can look at people as allies and not troublemakers, and that's, if to the extent we can do that, that's the way to go as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I do enjoy reading the Stormer. I mean, Anglin especially, he just put out a really good article I read this morning, Southern Baptist Convention kicks out church accused of racism and mm-hmm. starts doing Me Tooism. That's the full title. And, mm-hmm. You know, I know Anglin's not like a true Christian. I think he identifies with Christian values. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he was talking about how the Southern Baptist Convention used to be, you know, a beacon of light, standing against race mixing and homosexuality and feminism. And now it's totally cooked. And Anglin kind of touched my heart, you know, in this article, he quotes 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, and is talking about how, you know, the place of females in the church is to submit and not to usurp authority over men and to teach in the church. And it's not an anti-woman thing. It's just, you know, the lines have always been drawn for thousands of years of Christianity. Hey, you know, just like in the military, you have ranks. You have, you know, the pastor, you have the man, you have the woman, you have the children. And those ranks are not to be crossed. And Anglin quoted that verse, and that kind of touched me. And he makes a statement at the end of the article. He goes, I don't know how anyone can respect a religion that will change its basic moral premise based on the social climate of the time. And mm-hmm. he's exactly right. That's a non-Christian's take and view on my Christian churches that I go to, that we've totally dropped the ball and we've quit, you know, drawing a line in the sand. Now, not me personally, but like the majority of the churches. Southern Baptist Convention totally dropped the ball and they're cucking out. And that's why I was kicked out of a Southern Baptist church. I finally found a good church that I like. It's pro-white explicitly. And they actually speak against Zionism. So there's churches still out there that'll do this. But when they do, when they take that stand, they're going to be kicked out because the majority has been compromised. But yeah, I do agree. I do appreciate his take on that. And someone else's take I appreciate is Eric Stryker. I'd like to hear Eric's view on Dugan. If you ever have him on your show,
indeed. That
would be a great
Yes,
day.
Indeed. And I'm always talking to him, like he comes on David Duke's show, and like I'll often say, okay, let's, you know, do a show. And he says, yeah, I know he's, you know, like myself and like a lot of us, we also have our day jobs, and it can be hard to squeeze things in. He's come on this show a few times, and I would like to ask him about that. He was described in a show summary on one of these The Right Stuff podcasts, and he was described as Nazbol. And I was thinking, what is Nazbol? And then later it occurred to me, oh, that is the National Bolshevism. Now, he wasn't self-describing, but, you know, the TRS guy, whoever writes the show description, and, you know, these show descriptions are over the top, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But yeah, Nazbol. So that's a term, Nazbol. And I guess it's, well, here's the thing. In the United States, this is my feeling, I could be wrong on this, but to the extent people are influenced by Dugan, or they are, think of themselves as national Bolshevists, their understanding of things is probably pretty shallow. And I don't mean that in an insulting way, but it's like something that's, you know, ideas and histories that are not familiar to Americans. And so when you first start to familiarize yourself with something, your understanding tends to be kind of shallow. So I don't know. So to the extent that there are people who identify that way, to an extent, it might be almost a fashion You know, I remember as when I was in college, I knew people who were in the Revolutionary Communist Party. They didn't really understand much about it. It was just kind of fashionable. I knew some people in the Socialist Workers Party. They probably didn't know very much about Trotsky, but it was just kind of a fashion, you know. And so when people are just starting to get into to politics, I think it's pretty rare for somebody, unless they just inherit it from their parents, it's pretty rare for somebody to get into politics and stay in one place their whole life. You know, you probably move around a lot as a youth, and then you might get a little more stuck in your ways when you get older. But I mean, I've evolved in various ways. Certain things have been the same my whole life. You know, the peace activist type of that aspect has stayed pretty much the same, but a lot of other aspects have changed and probably will continue to.
And you talk about getting into politics and not knowing about it. And when you were young, I mean, you're a boomer, and we lay a lot of the blame on you guys because you were beguiled by this youth movement in the 60s to rebel against the culture. And I mean, not you personally, I don't know, but I mean, like your generation. And, that was the thing. And I think a lot of them didn't understand the implications of that. They didn't understand what the consequences of that would be. They just thought it was some new thing to be into, and they were told that it was a good thing, and that good things would come out of it, peace, love, and the like. And I think that's why my generation lays a lot of the blame at your generation, is because of, that your generation was tricked. And not everybody, David Duke obviously wasn't. My dad wasn't. He wore a belt and kept short haircuts. He wouldn't even know what pot smells like. And he taught me, not to race mix and to be a good, upstanding Christian young man, and I'm not going to have earrings or ripped jeans. In the 80s, that was big. You had MTV corrupting my generation. My goodness, pull up the video of the band called The Human League, Fascination. That's one of the early songs they put out, and the dudes look like girls. These guys are wearing eyeliners and lipstick and dangling earrings. They look like straight-up queers. And
I didn't know that. I didn't have a TV for a lot of the 80s, and I certainly didn't watch MTV. I didn't know that's what they looked like. I heard the name The Human League. I thought it was a fun-sounding name. I don't think I know any of their songs, though.
Pull up that song on YouTube, Fascination. And it's like a funky little video, and the chicks got their hair cropped short, looking all butch, and the dudes are wearing more makeup than the chicks, dangling earrings and deep voices. I mean, that's what we were exposed to as children, and now look at all the homosexual activity in Generation X, which is my generation. No wonder they let all these queers get on MTV and prance around and tell us that was cool. And so my dad fought against that. He goes, "No, you're not getting your ears pierced like a little queer. You're gonna look like a man." And so not all the boomers were, like that. Not all the boomers gave into that. So
honestly, most people that as I think back to the 60s and the 70s, most people were just regular. The hippie was a style. It wasn't like the majority of people were hippies. It was a thing, and they were prominent. Certainly, not the majority of people are Antifa today. I'm sure there's obviously a lot more hippies than Antifa. You were able to fill up Woodstock Farm with, I think, 300,000 concert goers. That was, I guess, the high point of hippieism. But I remember going to anti-Vietnam demonstrations, and they weren't dominated by hippies, at least not in Washington D.C. I don't know about on the campus of Berkeley or Kent State or anywhere, but in Washington D.C. it was mostly regular people, middle-aged people. There were young people too, and hippies were there, but they certainly didn't dominate it. I think that the thing is, hippies are they became kind of a a cultural icon, and so we remember them more than the, you know, more mundane, regular people. Well, please stay on. You know, we'll have a whole show with you, Jeremy. Stay on for the next segment.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. We've been talking about Alexander Dugin. We've been talking about the alt-right. We've been talking about hippies. What would be the equivalent of hippies in terms of like a cultural phenomenon or a, you know, a trend or identity, a youth identity for today or for a more recent era? I mean, you think of the 1950s, and it was the greasers, right? The James Dean types. And the 60s are represented by the hippies. Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm here. I think what we're seeing is the youth is now, if when properly motivated, is rebelling against this multiculturalism. Did you notice the fasci cut got big? And that's thanks to Spencer. These kids are getting their haircuts like Hitler, and they don't even know what it is.
Hey,
and I walk up to some kid, and I'm like, nice fasci cut. And he's like, what? And then I just red-pill the kid. So, you know, I think that this generation, and I think that's one of the things the Stormer is doing right, is it's reaching the young people between 12 and 25 years old.
Yeah.
And they're saying, look, you know, they're pushing them to rebel against this multicultural nonsense and mess and, you know, open faggotry that's being pushed on them.
Yeah, and that's why I've been tolerant of its anti-boomerism, even though it's starting to get on my nerves. But I know he's trying to reach his youth audience. Hey, I got one question before we go. Have you seen Tim the Russian Bear, who blows the trumpet at the World Cup games?
No, I feel so out of touch now. No, I have not. It sounds like something important too.
Okay, it actually is, because they've trained this bear to do the canal, which was invented by a half African French comedian named Dudonné, and you know, the Jews all consider it to be anti-Semitic. It's a gesture, a rude gesture that means up yours this far, and you point to your own shoulder. And so they've got this bear driving around in a car. He's in the backseat of a car sitting up, and he's huge. He's like way taller than his people around him. And he's blowing on this horn, and then they take the horn away from him, and he starts doing the canal at people. He starts doing this rude so-called anti-Semitic gesture. It's you have to look at Tim the Russian Bear at the World Cup. Take a look at it. It's a lot of
fun. I'll look that up, and thanks for talking to me. I just, you know, I appreciate the airtime. I just don't want people to start calling this the Jeremy and Patrick Show.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad you called up early, and I'm glad we had the chance to do this. We'll do it again. I know you've got a job.
Hopefully we'll
get back up on your ladder. But
yeah, but call me anytime. You got my number if you really want to hear some me come unhinged. And, man, George from Greece, call in sometime. I love hearing from you, brother.
Okay. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. Now, announcements. The announcement is at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. You can see Dr. Duke being interviewed by Jean-François Garapier, is that his name? Or I forgot his last name. Jean-François on the Public Square. Go to YouTube, look up the Public Square, and it's Jean-François Garapier. I think that's what his name is, Garapier. And that will be a lot of fun. Also, tomorrow, immediately following this show tomorrow, I will be on Mark Collette's channel with Richard Spencer and Mark Collette, and maybe I'll get that Newton question in. Okay. Back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.